This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. A record-breaking number of people voted by mail in Wisconsin's April 7th primary and general election. The vast majority of voters did so without any issues, but several thousand never got the ballots they requested on time. In places like Oshkosh and Fox Point, snafus with the post office prevented ballots from being delivered, and the state's election commission still doesn't have a concrete answer why. The city of Milwaukee had its own problems. Nearly 2,700 voters never received their mail-in ballots. Even more voters are expected in the November presidential election. And with the possibility that many people will again choose to vote by mail, the state is looking at ways to improve its system. WUWM's Mayan Silver spoke with Amber McReynolds of the National Vote at Home Institute. It's a nonpartisan, nonprofit working to help states improve vote-by-mail efforts. She starts by giving her takeaways from Wisconsin's April 7th primary.
I think first and foremost, I commend all of the local and election officials in particular because they were having to implement and run an election in incredible circumstances and at the same time basically have one hand tied behind their back from a policy perspective because the laws around voting by mail and vote at home are not, Wisconsin is sort of not at the top of the list in terms of access and good processes around that. So they're operating in kind of a difficult scenario anyways. And then you add on the pandemic, you add on a significant increase in vote by mail requests, and you also complicate that with essentially a political fight between the legislature and the governor in terms of moving the election date, modifying procedures, all those sorts of things. And it creates almost a tsunami, if you will, of issues that might occur. And that's what we saw, is I think we saw what happens when you have some flawed policies in your laws and you have some barriers that are sort of built in those policies that make the administration difficult. And then you couple that with a significant increase of voting by mail by voters, and then you start to see the issues that come up with data entry backlogs and timing delays with ballots because it's a very manual process. All of those things kind of create a very difficult scenario, and that's really why I think we saw some of the issues we did in Wisconsin.
And can you flesh out a little bit more why mail-in ballot access, you know, what its relationship is to turnout and what ends up happening in terms of turnout levels in states that use it?
Sure. Well, the evidence on turnout is clear with regards to primary elections and local elections. So we have seen significant increases in turnout as a direct result of vote by mail being implemented in those sort of smaller elections like a primary or like a local election. Nebraska has seen that happen with multiple counties that have moved to all vote at home versus counties that haven't. Same primary, those vote at home counties are usually double the turnout. In fact, a few of the Nebraska counties that are all vote at home last week when they had their primary had close to 70, one of them had 70% turnout, and I think it might be the highest in the country. And again, all vote at home in a fairly low interest primary, right? So primaries and locals, there's obvious evidence. Midterms, there is evidence. In fact, all the three vote at home states in 2018 that mailed a ballot to everyone were all in the top five states for turnout. And that's pretty consistent. Presidential elections are a little bit different because they usually are the highest turnout. They bring out a lot of voters that don't vote but once every 4 years. And so they're not often as educated on all the options. And who's on the ballot can be very a huge determinant in terms of turnout for presidentials. So there's some research that suggests it does increase, and there's other research that says that there's been a negligible impact. So I think we're going to have a lot more data this year, given the number of states that have transitioned to a full vote at home system, and then the number of states that are rolling out increases. But we know that providing a ballot, streamlining that process, making it more convenient, helps voters engage. And the data is more clear in certain elections than it is in others. And then I think in terms of requesting the ballot, like what you need to do in Wisconsin, voters that request that ballot have a higher turnout rate than voters that don't. And that could be because they're more engaged, but it's more likely that they don't have to wait in line or they don't have those extra time considerations that other voters that don't request a ballot might have on election day.
And I think, you know, turnout in general in Wisconsin, it was about a third of the voting eligible population turned out to vote, but it was by far the most ballots cast in mail-in ever. And so obviously we're going to have a higher turnout election in November, and so clerks need to be ready to process all those ballots. Do you have any advice about that?
Yeah, I do. And we are working with a couple of different jurisdictions in Wisconsin, and a couple of ways to handle the volume. Number one is sort of reviewing what that data entry process looks like on the front end with the requests. And then number two is how do you intake and receive mail ballots? Do you need additional equipment that can help support your process? And there's different types of equipment that help sort ballots and capture the images on the outside of the envelope and kind of process them on the intake. There's also equipment that helps you extract the ballot from the envelope in a safe and secure way. And then there's the counting process, which is that central count scanner. What does that look like? Do you need more? Did it work well in the primary? Given that volume, do you need to get some additional equipment? So there's sort of that two-sided consideration with regards to Wisconsin. And we are certainly recommending that counties and localities act as soon as possible to make those equipment purchase decisions, because that does take time to get on order and then installed in the office.
I see. And this leads us to another question about sending out absentee ballot or mail-in ballot requests for all voters versus sending out a ballot to all registered voters. What is your position on those two things?
Well, so I'm from Colorado. I was an election official for 14 years in Denver, and I helped to redesign the Colorado model, which entails automatically mailing a ballot to every voter. What I would say about that is, you know, up to the point of us changing our laws to automatically mail a ballot, we had the no excuse process. And what we found was voters continued to ask for mail ballots to be mailed to them at increasing numbers every single cycle. And so as we continue to see those numbers climb and voters opt in, they were basically opting themselves in. We found that it was actually became a situation where a small percentage of voters had not opted in. And in a lot of cases, those voters that weren't signing up just didn't know that they could. And so it was creating confusion. And we decided that, once it got to be, it was 75, 80% almost every time, it made sense for us to say, well, now we should create an opt-out system. So instead of you having to sign up each time, we're going to assume that you want your ballot mailed to you. But we will instead allow, and still have vote centers, in-person voting, but just not as many polling places, so that voters really have all the options. And then that's why we decided to flip it, basically, to be an opt-out, where we're going to send you a ballot each time. And if you prefer to go in person, or if something happens with, maybe you move or something in between elections and you don't receive your ballot, you can still go to any voting center. You're not constricted or assigned by the government to one polling place.
And one thing I wanted to ask, actually back to the issue about sending out a mail-in ballot request versus an actual ballot to voters, what's your position on if Wisconsin decides, or parts of Wisconsin, we're already hearing that the city of Milwaukee wants to send out absentee ballot request forms to voters? What is your take on that?
I think that's a great way to inform voters of what their options are. We're very supportive of that. I think all election officials across Wisconsin should think about doing that. The main reason is because if you send that application now, where you educate voters on what their options are now, you're going to be able to flatten the curve in a way in terms of that increase in data entry and applications coming in later or closer to the election. So by being proactive with educating voters on what their options are and encouraging them to make a plan to vote and decide how they're going to do that, and offering them that option now can actually really help election administrators with their volumes later on if more people do it now. So the key and the goal should always be take action early, make sure you're registered to vote, make sure your address is up to date, and then sign up for a vote at home ballot well in advance so that you get it on time and election administrators are not overwhelmed.
And there are some kind of partisan divides on this issue, or what seems to be partisan divides. Maybe it's not actually happening in practice in Republican-led states that have these all mail-in elections. But what about things that Republicans tend to bring up, like ballot harvesting and voter fraud and voting twice? And, you know, are those things to worry about with mail-in? What have you found on that?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, we have to make sure that the election system overall, whether it be in-person voting, early voting, or mail-in voting, is secure, right? And there's a lot of components to that. There's physical security. I mean, when I was back in Denver, one of the things that we trained our election officials on was responding to an active shooter situation and responding to other emergencies that might come up. And then now with a pandemic, there's a whole nother set of emergency issues that relate to in-person voting. All physical security, right? And then there's the cybersecurity side of things and all that. And then there's what I would call bad actor interference, where whether it's a cyber incident and a foreign entity or even a domestic bad actor is trying to interfere somehow in that process, we have to be able to detect and deter those types of bad actors. And the final bad actor is on exactly what you just said with regards to election fraud, which is actually more common than voter, like individual voter fraud, election fraud, kind of like what we saw in North Carolina in 2018, or where we've seen other sorts of incidences where bad actors try to take advantage of voters and interfere with the voting process, whether they're intimidating them, sending them wrong information, whatever that might be. We have to be able to deter and detect that and hold those folks accountable. It's the same thing on anyone who does try, and even though it's exceedingly rare, like voting fraud, especially on mail ballots, is exceedingly rare. And even the Heritage Foundation's own database that they record these sorts of things has only found of 1,200 cases they've documented in 20 years or so, 204 related to vote by mail, and only 143 of those were prosecuted. That's still, you know, even though it's a small number and it's only 0.0006% of all ballots cast, it's still something that we have to look at, make sure that our systems are deterring and detecting those sorts of things. And that's why at the Vote at Home Institute, we recommend a lot of these best practices that enhance security, give us a better ability to track bad actors and find them and expose that and make sure they get prosecuted. It's also why we recommend things like signature verification to be part of a good vote at home, an expanded vote at home system, because we need to have an ability to track those things. So it's exceedingly rare, but that doesn't mean that we don't continue to pay attention to these sorts of issues and make sure that the system is secure and can deter and detect and hold folks accountable that try to interfere with it.
And let's say Wisconsin and Wisconsin officials aren't fully ready to make the complete leap of like becoming an all-mail-in state. That's kind of a big hill to climb at this point. What's considered a success for Wisconsin in November in your standards? And what would the costs be of something like that?
Sure. Well, I would say what a lot of states and localities make the mistake of thinking is that, and actually probably more policymakers than not, but it's actually more difficult to administer the election process the way Wisconsin is doing it now versus mailing a ballot automatically. And the reason that I say that is because the two-step process adds expense, it adds time, and it adds significant administrative burdens because you have to process those requests. So every time, you know, you're basically telling the voter, sign up to get this. And so that request has to be processed. And that means the election officials have to do that data entry and then turn that ballot around. And in Wisconsin's case, a lot of localities don't use third-party vendors to mail their ballots. And so they're manually preparing all of these ballot packets in their offices. And so in a lot of ways, it would actually be more straightforward because if they were to decide to mail a ballot to everyone, they would not have to do all that data entry and voters wouldn't have to fill out those requests. And there'd actually be some cost efficiencies around that. But right now, that's what they have in terms of the laws on the books and the policies. So they are going to have this influx of data entry and what that looks like. And then sort of turning around those ballots in a good way is really important. And I do think that larger jurisdictions like the Milwaukees of the world or the larger counties should really consider contracting with a third-party vendor for November, because even if they're, you know, go up to 30% or 40% or 50% of all ballots cast, or possibly well beyond that, and maybe it's closer to 80%, that is a lot to do manually out of those offices. So getting a professional vendor that knows how to do this, that can, you know, utilize the best practices and the technology available to prepare and print all the ballots, would save those local election officials a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of costs actually to prep all those ballots to go out. So that's one of the big suggestions. And I think, you know, as I've mentioned earlier, ballot tracking is a great thing to think about. I believe the State Board of Elections has been talking to some different providers on that type of platform, and it would be great to see Wisconsin move forward on that. And then that voter education piece and sending out applications, or at least providing that extra info to voters, is really important ahead of November.
Amber McReynolds of the National Vote at Home Institute, thanks for talking about mail-in ballots.
Thanks for having me.
Amber McReynolds is the CEO of the National Vote at Home Institute. She spoke with WUWM's Mayan Silver. This story has been supported by the Solutions Journalism Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to rigorous and compelling reporting about responses to social problems.